Hello, I'm Jill Ament, one of the news reporters for KWBU. In this edition of Behind the Story, I'm featuring my full conversation with Dr. John Jenkins, the new principal at Waco ISD's Indian Spring Middle School. I'm excited to be able to feature this full interview with Jenkins because he has a lot of plans for the school. And in the story we aired earlier this week on Indian Springs' new leadership, I felt I wasn't able to capture everything Jenkins wants to do for this struggling campus in just 2 minutes and 30 seconds. So we'll go ahead and jump into the story that aired on Tuesday.
And those are our sixth graders.
Dr. John Jenkins has worked with struggling schools in San Antonio and most recently Los Angeles. As the new principal at Indian Spring, he's hoping to bring a lot of changes.
This is like a diamond in the rough for me. I think, in a matter of months, we'll have a very different school and product here at Indian Spring.
And as classes switched periods without incident during the first week of school, Jenkins says some of those changes are already taking place.
If you could have saw what I saw when I came in and took a peek at the campus last season, you wouldn't experienced what we just experienced, because I was able to pretty much talk during the transition.
For the 2014-2015 school year, a state mandate required 75% of the school's staff to be replaced. This was after the school's academic performance fell into the bottom 5th percentile in the state of Texas. The Texas Education Agency defines Indian Spring as a Title I priority school because of its low performance. That title also means a majority of the school's students come from low-income backgrounds. Indian Spring also didn't meet TEA's accountability rating standards for the second year in a row. Those ratings are determined by star scores. Jenkins says putting in place an academic framework called AVID, or Advancement Via Individual Determination, will be one of the initiatives he thinks will help the school make at least a 5% performance gain on the star next year.
The campus really didn't have a academic culture that was cohesive. Usually when I go into a campus that is struggling, that's usually one of the first things that we'll pinpoint.
AVID is a model meant to help students gain post-secondary skills for college or career readiness. Jenkins says letting middle school students have those post-secondary experiences, like visiting a college classroom, are extremely important. Jenkins also wants to establish a positive approach to behavior by not just punishing the bad, but targeting good behavior.
Many of the students that we have, they've been brought up in a situation or through the schooling process that they're used to the negative consequences.
But Jenkins says a lot of what he thinks is lacking at Indian Spring is more parental involvement from the community. He hopes eventually there will be a parent-teacher-student association on campus. Overall, Jenkins says there's definitely a lot to take on this school year, but he's not letting that discourage him. For KWBU News in Waco, I'm Jill Ament. Next, we'll air my complete interview with Dr. Jenkins. Some of the highlights from this full interview include his focus on getting students ready for life after middle and high school, his efforts to find the right teachers, and how he plans to improve the school's performance on the rigorous STAR test this year.
I think the first thing that we're really trying to do is we want to expose the students to post-secondary education. I think that many of the students that we have, they have limited opportunities, and getting outside of the immediate area such as Waco and seeing what else is out there. And so part of a grant that the campus has received, a Texas Title I Priority Schools grant, part of that was getting money and funding to expose students to post-secondary education. So going to universities, trade schools, vocational programs firsthand and experiencing that, I think that's going to give several of our students a different perspective on schooling. So that's a big piece. The second piece is we're going to an AVID model as a instructional framework. AVID is a Advancement Via Individual Determination. Very successful model for students to build a lot of the fundamental school skills that perhaps universities and junior colleges provide their students at freshman orientation, as example. You know, when they arrive, how do you take notes? How do you prep for classes? How do you stay organized? How do you write a certain way? You know, where they give them prescriptive format writing and so forth. And so we're going to be doing that through our AVID model campus-wide. So here we're taking young people, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade level students, and providing them a structured AVID model. We're going to give them a college experience, as well as part of that is going to be iPad technology. So we're going to go to a one-to-one iPad component. That was the bell, and we now are going to get to see students dismiss. So we can kind of watch the students in, in action as they move from their fifth period to sixth period today. And you should notice, too, the dress code, which is interesting, because if you'll see the students in blue, you'll notice those are the eighth grade. And if you see the students in red, those are seventh. And then you're going to see these really, really cute kids in white, and those are our sixth graders. Yes, yeah. They just got here fresh from elementary. Our projections right at about 650 students.
We talked, I think this was more for another campus, but behavior or anything like that, are you guys dealing with that? Is that something that's, I guess in a sense, what is some of the challenges that the students have when it comes to academics? And how do you guys plan on tackling that as well?
Yeah, I think, what the campus is trying to do is we're trying to move into a model. It's called PBIS, and that's a positive approach to behavior, as opposed to, I want to say, what traditional schools use, which is they stick to a student code of conduct, and it's basically cause and effect. If you do this, then we impose a negative consequence. Well, the other side of that is the positive. What if we presuppose the behavior with, if you do these things, then these things will happen, and we target positives, then we expect positive outcomes. Many of the students that we have, they've been brought up in a situation or through the schooling process that they're used to the negative consequences. And for many of them, they're almost immune to things such as suspensions and lectures and conferences and stuff like that. They've heard it many, many times over, the ones that have certain types of behaviors. And so I wanted to change that up and try the positive behavioral piece with the students, believing that kind of it puts a different spin or a different twist on their behavior, because now it kind of empowers them, each individual student, to say, this is what I want, and this is how we're going to model, and if I do these things, then positively these things will happen. So, part of that is staying in good academic standing, attending class on a regular basis, going to your AVID class, not having the behavioral referrals, things like that. And when you do these types of things, what will happen is then you'll be eligible for activities. You'll be eligible for the field trips I mentioned, as well as you'll be eligible for other things that we'll do on campus. We've got a PBIS program that we're working on rolling out. We've got a team that's starting to develop some of these incentives. And so just little things such as, say you need school supplies. Well, many of the students here, they don't have the funds or the funding to buy notebooks, binders, paper, pens, and a lot of things like that they need on a daily basis, consumables. So with this, just by being in control of your behavior, they can get paw points. Paw points then can be turned in and purchase your school products. So, there's a way for the students then to purchase the things they need for school through their behavior. And so it empowers a student to look at behavior a different way. And, I've seen specifically many PBIS campuses that have good plans in place and that the staff does that. The positive outcome is the student, because it's just a different look on behavior, and you get a better behavior And you don't have to be suspending kids, and you don't have to be using punitive and negative language and consequences with young people.
Where were you before you came here?
Yeah, I came in from Los Angeles. Prior to that, I was in Kingsville, and before that, I was in San Antonio.
Okay.
And so pretty much what I've done for a little while is I've worked with challenging schools, high at-risk population, at-needs students. Same thing with training with new and developing teachers and administrators, working with them. Yeah.
So this is similar to that situation.
It's beautiful. Yeah. You know, I still feel like I'm on vacation because I love Waco. The location, I can't say enough just how beautiful this campus is. We're right on the Brazos. We're downtown by the convention center. I live a couple blocks from here. I run on the river daily. Other than a little bit of extreme heat, you know, again, Waco, to me, this is just a wonderful area. I think that, you know, this is like a diamond in the rough for me. I think, you know, in a matter of months, we'll have a very different school and product here at Indian Spring.
What is like some kind of, statistical goal mm-hmm. or something that you're like shooting for to reach at the end of the year? I mean,
well, as a group, collectively, we've all committed to a 5% increase. But to me, I think that's kind of a low goal. I think that we'll see a double-digit increase when we get to our results. But we, as a staff, we've committed to a 5% increase. And, you know, given the new STAR math component and given just the complexity and the depth of the STAR test altogether, you know, campuses really fight and struggle for 1 and 2 percentage point gains. That's, you know, that's usually a good goal for a typical situation. For us, this is not typical. We are a new staff. We're a new team. We've taken on a new project. I think I've got a very committed and focused group working on campus, as well as we have the full support of the Waco School Board and the superintendent to really try to move this campus fast. So again, I think a 5% increase is, you know, I think that's a good goal for us. It, you know, we have a few, what I want to say, the major initiatives, which is really the AVID model, which provides us that common instructional framework, which the campus didn't have. So the campus really didn't have a academic culture that was cohesive. Usually when I go into a campus that, you know, is struggling, that's usually one of the first things that we'll pinpoint. Because when you go into a successful campus, conversely, you'll find that, you know, departments have worked together for several years. Everybody kind of has roles and there's responsibilities are rolled out, whether they're formal or informal. And there's that understanding of relationships and how the academics are presented during the days of instruction. And on successful campuses, that's what you have. On campuses that kind of struggle or in a struggling state, such as this campus, you don't find that. You find this lack of that. So AVID, I think, that meets that need. And then the other part was also providing those college and career experiences. Again, it's a lot to tell a young person something, and then you can actually show them videos and you can show them books and pictures. But until they sit inside a history class in UT Austin, you know, when they walk the campus over in Houston and they you know, talk to some other Cougars over there in Houston about the classes and how they got to college and what they're studying, they really can't see themselves in that situation, that scenario. And I think, you know, each time we'll do one of these experiences, and we plan on one a month. That's our goal once we get rolling, one a month. And we expect that several students will be impacted by that, and they'll come back, and that will help reinforce and motivate them to take their studies more serious as well. And another major initiative is also the morning tutorials. I'm just not real big, and I haven't seen the productivity in after school tutoring programs. So here on this campus, we'll do morning tutoring. Many of the research studies that I've looked at, tutoring is effective in small groups, 3 to 5, no more. I've seen these, you know, where people try large tutoring sessions. That's really not so effective. We're gonna tap into our neighboring school here, our university, to try to get some tutors from the program there. They'll work with us in our core areas doing small group pullouts tutoring. We'll have tutoring in the morning from 7:45 to 8:25 while we run the AVID model. And then the last thing is making mention of the behavioral component. Now, over the last few minutes, as I've been talking and kind of sharing this with you, we've gone through a passing a transition period. And if you could have saw what I saw when I came in and took a peek at the campus last season, you wouldn't have experienced what we just experienced, because I was able to pretty much talk during the transition. And the noise level was, you know, in proportion, and students got to where they needed. And did you hear adults yelling? Adults yelling at kids to go to class, or whistles blowing, or negative comments.
How do you establish, like, how, I mean, it's only the second day, or third day, actually,
third day
of school. How were you able to establish that so quickly, or like the team? Mm-hmm.
What I've learned over time is it's about expectations. It's about an understanding and a commitment. And the educators that wanted to come on this journey, they had to have an understanding of, these are our expectations. This is where we're at, and this is what we need to do. And I think we just had to have a clear understanding up front at the task at hand. And those who were interested, then we move forward in the process. And those that were more interested in themselves, you know, they weren't able to join us today. So, you know, I think a big thing is really getting people that have a strong commitment to children, that have a passion and want to do something with children. I think, you know, finding people that want to impact children and education, and that have that as their motivation, that's the kind of people we want working with this population, with me and with this school. And for the most part, that's the staff that we now have. And so that's how we're going to get real positive results and positive gains. You know, I don't want to say teachers are not perfect, but, you know, when we look to hire staff, you know, there's certain character traits that we look for. And over time, you get to get a sense and a feeling of about people and their intentions and what they want to do. And so it's about finding the right staff. And then once you get the right staff, working and training and molding right staff, right administrators, right support people, with the intent to impact children and make big impacts with children. Many of the children that we have, they have a variety of needs. They come to school and they perhaps need more than perhaps some other students. And the people that work here have to understand that. And if you're not ready and willing to do and give to our children in that way, then again, we really don't need you a part of this staff.
Because I know that the grant that you guys have is going to, you guys are trying to establish some kind of community center or some kind of place where parents and students can go for after hours or before hours. Is that right? Or is that just something that's going to take place in classrooms?
Well, no. We're looking at trying to do some after-hour activities as well. Because one of the big pieces in success, to have a successful school, there's the three basic ingredients. And number one, you got to have students. Okay, we got students. Number two, got to have good teachers. We got good teachers. But the last one is, we've got to have committed and involved parents. A successful school cannot be a successful school without a large body of committed parents that will come to school, they'll work with the school, they're involved in their children's education directly with the school. And the three in a triangular relationship work together. I found that schools that are not so successful, they really don't have that strong parent commitment at school. And that's for a variety of reasons. In this case, I think it's just the lack of communication. So the campus has three, what I would say, major goals, and that's going to be that, you know, communication, data-driven instruction, and a shared mission and vision. And with those three things, our hope is that we can work to try to get our parents to come more to the school, to be more involved. So say, for example, the other night on the 21st Thursday, we had Meet the Teacher Night. I'm not sure about what everyone else was doing, but I know that I had heard that the elementary schools were doing that. So I asked the question, real simple question, well, are the secondary schools doing that? And I got kind of a different group of answers. And I said, okay, well, that's a perfect opportunity for us. So let's jump on it. Actually, Mr. Caffey contacted him and said, look, can we do a call out? Can we communicate with our parents that let's do this Meet the Teacher night? At that, we'll pass out schedules. That night, and we weren't sure who was going to show up, how many parents, but that night we had 251 parents sign in. Plus they brought other folks in, and you know, some of them had may have had more than one child enrolled. So we saw that as a huge first step in the right direction. Because here, you know, we asked for parental involvement, and just right at the start, we got a large group of parents coming back to school. And that's what we want. We want our parents to come in. And so what we're trying to develop with the piece of what we're trying to do with the TIPS grant is to find ways to get the parents of our children to come into the school. And it could be through classes. It could be through activities with the children. It could be through food preparation. It could be through academic means and measures. Just different creative pieces where we do at least once a month, and we'll have some kind of sustained activities where we can get our parents to come in and participate, even if it's in small groups, but at least we're getting a parent base that's tied back into the school. And parental involvement, you know, Department of Education clearly states in critical success factors of schools that parental involvement, how important it is, that I've mentioned about the triangular relationship as well. So we have to go outside of what I would say the norm to try to figure out how to do that with parents that may not understand their role in this. And so I'll say, for example, we'll say back to communication, just having staff that's bilingual, I feel and believe that that's very important. The campus now has a front staff anyway, that the majority of all the front staff are all bilingual. Knowing that we have a large Hispanic population where English is a second language, it's important that when we do direct communication to our parents, that we can communicate in a language that they're comfortable in their native language. So if it's Spanish, that we can communicate it with the parents that way. And so I think that's going to help us as we try to get the word out. I think programs will help us. And slowly trying to get a percentage of parents to be involved. What I'd like to see, you know, as a longer term goal, is that we actually have a parent teacher student association on campus that's formal and that's kind of built into the site-based decision making. You know, what's typical is you get a few parent volunteers that kind of work with the team, which is required, but where you really would get more parents up here. So, you know, I've got a few initiatives that are not so conventional or traditional that we'll be trying in the few upcoming months to try to, again, get our parents to come up to the school and again, work with the teachers and see us, and again, just kind of break down that wall, so to speak, because I think it can be a challenge, you know, whether it's language, whether it's the parent may not understand their role, the parent may not feel welcomed. Maybe at some point in the career, they dealt with a problem and they didn't feel the school was listening. You know, so we want to try to get to a refresh with our parents and start over. Again, trying to build a relationship. And that comes by after-school programming that we're trying to do. So hopefully I was kind of answered that after-school piece to you as best as I could.
So overall, I guess you're feeling pretty excited, focused about the school year. And, I mean, what is your overall feeling, I guess?
You know, I think at this point... you know, I come from Jim Collins wrote a book in 2001 called Good to Great. A lot of what I do really is based on Collins' work. And you know, the tough part is we're taking on so much. There's so many things that we're trying to do. And it's kind of counter to, I want to say, a philosophical belief of Collins' work and as well as the way I like to do things. However, everything's running smooth. And what I would, you know, what I get excited about is I just want to get down to kind of on crunch time with the kids, where we can just kind of say, okay, you know, here's the finish line, you know. But it's like, you know, right now it's like I got to slow my jets and say, hey, you know, we got to go through the process. And so I think I'm excited at this point in time as the launch, as I've been calling it. We've launched. Now we're in full motion. And I think, you know, now it's about just going for the process, enjoying the process with our students, enjoying the time, making the learning environment fun for our children and meaningful. As I met with some athletes this morning, you know, I talked to them about being the now. You know, let's not worry so much about here and there. Let's focus and let's just enjoy the now. And I think that's what myself, I've got to try to do at this point is just enjoy today with the children.
I'm Jill Ament with KWBU News. You've been listening to my full interview with Indian Spring Middle School's new principal, Dr. John Jenkins, on Behind the Story. You can find the full interview online at kwbu.org. Thanks again for listening.